welcome to PreachItAudio.com. If you're encouraged and strengthened by this message today, be sure to tell someone who this message may bless about PreachItAudio.com, or simply share this message by copying it to a CD and giving it to them so they can listen to it at their own leisure. It is always our prayer that this message will be a blessing to you. May it be a source of strength and help for the struggle you may be facing today. Lord Jesus, I ask you to bless this one who may be listening to this message. Let your word be a light unto their pathway as they go through their day and the week ahead. Bless them, Father, with all spiritual blessing is my prayer today. In Jesus' name. Now we take you to the service already in progress. God bless you.
The book of Judges, chapter number 5, and let me start reading at verse number 1. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, on that day, saying, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O you kings, give ear, O you princes. I will sing unto the Lord, I will sing praise to the God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel." Then in verse 14, "Out of Ephraim was there a root of them against Amalek. After thee, Benjamin, among thy people. Out of Makar came down governors, and out of Zebulun they that handle the pen of the writer. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley, for the divisions of Reuben, there were great thoughts of heart. Why boldest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleatings of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Gilead abode beyond Jordan, and why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breeches. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeoparded their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. The kings came and fought. Then fought the kings of Canaan and Tanakh by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The river of Kishon swept them away, that ancient river, River Kishon. O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. Then were the horse hoofs broken by the means of the prancings and the prancings of the mighty ones. Curse ye marauders, said the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty." Now, I've read several verses tonight from Judges 5, verses 1 through 5, and also verse 14 through 23. In verse 23, the Bible said, "Curse ye marauders, said the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof." And here was the reason: because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. I want to speak to you tonight for a while. My subject is involved in the battle. And I'd like for Brother Mooney to come back up here and just pray that God will touch us in these next few moments.
Father, what a special sense of your presence is in this room. I pray now that you will anoint our hearts and minds to receive the word. Give strength to this your man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, and you may be seated. God bless you tonight. Amen. The text that I have read from this evening is a part of a song of triumph. It is, as I read it, reciting and reliving, as it were, a glorious victory for the people of God. That victory was over Sisera and the Canaanites. And this was a song of triumph. I believe it's a good thing when you get happy and you're triumphant to sing to the Lord. Amen. God has always used singing as a part of an expression of joy, as an expression of victory. There's something about God's people. They sing a lot. You go into a church where the Spirit of the Lord is moving, there's usually a lot of singing. Praise of the Lord. Some of us may not do it as well as others, but we all like to express ourselves in singing, giving praise to the Lord God. Amen. And in this song that was here from Judges chapter 5, each one of the tribes is mentioned, and also mentioned was the part that they played in the battle in order to achieve the victory. That was mentioned. All the part that they played in order to gain the victory. You see, they had won a great victory by the help of the Lord. And there is no victory without the help of the Lord. But if God be for us, then who can be against us? I'm glad we're in a victorious church tonight. I'm glad we're in a triumphant church tonight. I'm glad we're not in a battle, defeated, destroyed, down and out church. I'm glad we're in the church of the Lord Jesus that's marching to victory in His name. Now, all of these people enjoyed the spoils of the victory. The peace that came as a result of victory. But before there can be a victory accomplished, somebody has to fight. Somebody has to pay the price. Somebody has to sacrifice in a very necessary way in order to achieve the victory that God wants for His people. Doesn't matter whether it was back then or tonight. The church still needs victory in this hour. Amen. And you know, when God gives the victory, everybody likes to be in on the spoils. Everybody likes to be in on the rejoicing and the good time. Even some that did not fight in the battle, once the battle is won and the victory is achieved, then they're ready to come out and say, look what we did. Amen. They want to feel as though they were a part of it. Now, an example I want to give you was from Zebulun and Naphtali. The Bible said that they jeoparded their lives unto death in the high places of the field. They had paid the price for victory. They jeoparded their lives. They put their lives on the line in order that God's people would have a great victory that day. Amen. Amen. They were willing to do what it took in order to have a victory. The Bible said in verse number 20 that the stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The stars in their courses fought. When we start doing what God wants us to do, then I believe that all of heaven will begin to back us up in what we're doing. When we begin to do the will of God, then all of heaven is with us and is behind us. Praise God, praise God. The Bible said about the tribe of Issachar, they received praise. The tribe of Ephraim, they received some praise. The tribe of Benjamin and the Benjamites, they received some praise. You see, an entire nation had won a victory, and honor is now being passed out and given to the people that were involved in the achieving of that victory. Praise God. Isn't it good to be involved? Aren't you glad you're involved? I believe that most of the people that come to this type of conference are the people that are involved in the church and want to be involved and want to be vessels of honor that are used of God. Most of your people that are totally nonchalant and unconcerned do not attend these type of meetings. But I believe tonight there are people that have come to this conference desperately reaching out for a move of God in your life. I believe there are preachers here tonight that are desperately reaching out for a move of God in your church. And I believe you're going to receive some direction in these services this week. All of us are. That's going to help us to go back home and fight just a little harder and a little more for the glory of God. Amen. How many want to stay in the fight? Praise God, praise God. And so after all the commendation, after all the good things that have been said about certain tribes, then I noticed that the tone begins to change a little bit. There was some indignation expressed at those tribes that were passive, at those tribes that were not doing their part and doing what they should have done to get to victory. Amen. Everybody was enjoying the spoils, but some of them fought in order to get it, and others did not fight, and they wanted to enjoy the victory once it was gotten. Amen. Isn't that same thing true tonight? Praise God. I don't know how it is in Indiana, but I've been in North Carolina going on 25 years, long enough to know that there's some that are involved and some are not. Maybe in Indiana, everybody gets involved. This is a great church, and I'm sure Pastor Mooney has his own unique ways, as I've observed him through the years, of getting just about everybody involved. But unfortunately, in our case, that hasn't happened yet. But you see, when a church wins the victory, everybody wants to just get up there and enjoy the spoils of the victory. But somebody is going to have to fight, and somebody's going to have to sacrifice, and somebody's going to pay the price. And somebody's going to have to pray. And somebody's going to have to fast. And somebody's going to have to witness. And somebody's going to have to work. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, in order to have the victory, somebody is going to have to get involved. Amen. I'm going to give you my personal opinion tonight, and it's a very limited opinion in comparison to a lot of these great men on this platform. But my personal opinion is, in Pentecost, if we could just get a majority of our people involved in the operation of the local church, there is no telling what could happen in any given church. Hallelujah. We wouldn't have to get everybody, maybe, although that would be a wonderful thing. If you want your pastor to die, just come up and start telling him what you want to do and how you want to get involved and how you want to teach Bible studies, how you want to start knocking doors, and how you want to start going maybe to a jail or a prison or a rest home. He'll probably expire right on the spot, but he'll have a smile on his face. Praise God. And when we're not involved, we're unhappy. People, as I've observed, when they're not involved, they're not happy people. The happiest people in the church are those that are involved in the work of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. When people are involved, they don't have time to grumble. When people are involved as they should be, they don't have time to complain. When people are involved as they should be, they don't have time to fuss. When people are as involved as they should be, they don't have time to gossip. When people are as involved as they should be, they don't have time for those lesser demeaning activities. But we've got an objective and a purpose and a priority. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe it's time that we would mobilize as a church. We've got a tremendous job on our hands, and every one of us that are here tonight recognize fully well the tremendous responsibility and the challenge that is facing the church tonight. It'll never be done by a handful of people. It'll never be accomplished by a few people. It's only going to be in part going to happen, and the results are going to happen as we begin to mobilize all of our time, our talents, our energies, our strength, our ability, everything we've got, and begin to put it in the work of God. I believe it's time to give God your best. I believe it's time to give God your best. Wednesday night, or whenever it is, when we're out there in the field doing something for God.
They don't have time to talk about the pastor. They don't have time to talk about the leader. They don't have time to discuss the names. People that are fighting have got one thing on their mind. They're involved. They're at the forefront of the battle. People that are involved have got one thing on their mind. I've got to win this fight. We've got to win the picture. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is unimportant. Everything else fades in the background. The number one priority is got to win. Hallelujah. Now, we all know there's going to be some reverses. And there's going to be some setbacks. In every battle, it's not easy. It's not all, victory is not always achieved and accomplished in an easy manner. In fact, it very seldom is. Praise God. But blessed is that church that understands its purpose. Blessed is that preacher that understands the purpose of his calling. I said, blessed is the church that understands what we are called out of and what we are called into. Oh, hallelujah. We've been called out of sin. We've been called out of bondage. We've been called out of darkness. We've been called out of people. We've been called out of iniquity. We've been called out of tradition. We've been called out of many things. But thank God we've been called in to the glorious liberty of the sons of God.
Toward what we know today as America. He left his diary and somebody, I guess, got a hold of it. And I read a little bit of it. And it said that we sailed westward today on the first day. And it said we had a good time and things were smooth the first day. About the third day, he said, we had a little confusion today. People are concerned. They've been taught to that point that you'd sail out there and somewhere you'd just drop off. And that'd be the end of it. They didn't understand some things we understand tonight. And he said, so there's some discontent on board the ship. But he signed the bottom of the page by saying, but we sailed westward today. Amen. About the fifth day, he said we had some mutiny on board the ship. And some men are very disturbed. And they talk about going back. But at the bottom of the page, Brother Moody said, but we sailed westward today. On about seventh or eighth day, he said, one man killed another one, stabbed him to death, and they threw his body overboard in the sea. And a lot of discontent on board. But he said, we sail westward today. Every page, Christopher Columbus had one objective and one purpose, and that's to find the new world. I'm looking for a better world. He was looking for this world. I'm looking for a better world. Still praying. be seated. So an entire nation has won a victory. And honor is being given to all the tribes that have been a part of that. But some of them were in the fight and some were not. That's the way it is tonight. In every church, there are workers and there are non-workers. In every church, there are prayers and non-prayers. In every church, there are those that witness and those that don't witness. In every church, there are those that give sacrificially, and there's those that give little or nothing at all. In every church, there are some that just sit on the pews, or the sidelines, or the bleachers, if you please. But there's others that are out in the arena where the activity is. Hallelujah! 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 But you know what? Everybody that comes to this church, everybody, whether involved or not, you enjoy the same beautiful music. You enjoy the same beautiful choir. You enjoy the tremendous preaching of your pastor. You enjoy all the evangelists that he brings in and get the benefit of a great church. Hallelujah. It's sort of like the elephant that walked across the bridge, and little flea was on his back, and when the flea looked back at the bridge, it was just shaking where the elephant walked. And the little flea said, "Boy, we struck that bridge, didn't we? Amen. We really shook that bridge." That's where a lot of people are tonight. They think they're shaking the bridge. I'm telling you who's going to shake the bridge. It's those that are out there and fall to the back. Amen. And so now then, he turns in stern rebuke to some who did not help in the battle. In verse number 16, he said this about Reuben. "Why did you abide in the sheepfolds? Why did you stay there? Why weren't you a part of the battle? Why weren't you involved? Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleatings of the flock? Why did you stay there when there was a battle going on?" Yeah, amen. "Why did you stay at home when we was having church on Wednesday night?" I just thought I'd drop that in there. Praise God. "Why did you not get involved in the visitation or outreach program of your church? Hey, this is a revival conference, and the only way we're going to have revival is for folks to get involved." Hallelujah. When God gave me the Holy Ghost 41 years ago, I made up my mind that whatever the church is doing, that's what I'm going to be doing. Whether the church calls prayer meeting, I'll be in the prayer meeting. If the church, if the pastor calls a fast, I want to be a part of the fasting. If the pastor calls visitation, I want to be a part of visitation. If the pastor calls for some other activity, I want to be a part of it. You see, I don't want to be a writer in the bleachers or just in the stands. I want to be a participant on the field of activity. The battle is not won in the bleachers. It's won on the field. Praise God. Praise God. And so, Reuben, why did you stay among the sheepfolds? Why did you just stay in the safety of the sheep and listening to the bleating of the sheep? Why did you not do anything to help us win the battle? Oh, he said, "Well, let's just forget that and all rejoice now." But he says, "I think we need to go back and talk about this battle a little bit and how it's won." Then he said about Gilead. He said, "Gilead, you would not cross Jordan. You were afraid to cross the Jordan. You stayed on the other side of Jordan." Hallelujah. Then he said about Dan in verse number, I believe it's verse number 17. He said, "And why did Dan remain in the ships?" He said, "We had a battle fight. We had something to do. We had an enemy. We had the Canaanites. We had some people out there resisting us. We had some people out there coming against us. We had some people fighting us. But why did you take refuge in the ship?" Praise God. There's some of us tonight that enjoy the great church that we're a part of. But the question is, how involved are you as a part of that church in order to make it what it needs to be? Everybody enjoys a good church. Praise God. I enjoy good singing, music, and worship. I enjoy being in a good church. But I'm going to tell you that somebody's going to make it happen. Praise God. And you know what? If the church went dead and nothing was happening and the preacher's sermons weren't any good and there were no visitors and nobody was getting baptized and no one was getting the Holy Ghost, you know the first ones to complain about it would be the ones that wasn't involved. Hallelujah. that'd be the first ones that would complain about it. The truth is that there are some people, probably not here tonight, but there are some people that are parasites. And there's some people that are spiritual hitchhikers. And they're riding on someone else's prayer and faith and fasting and worship and power, but they're not paying the fare. I believe it's time for Pentecostals to rise up and say, I am going to be a part of this. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And then he said, in verse 17, he said, Asher, he said, you continued on the seashore and you sought safety in the little creeks and the outlets. You didn't want to get involved. You stayed at the seashore and you just looked out for some little creek or some little outlet and you didn't get involved. But now then that the victory's won, Asher, here you are. Here you are saying, look what we did. Here you are wanting to enjoy the victory celebration. However, the sternest rebuke and the sternest judgment of all was for Barak. Now, I don't know a whole lot about these people. There's not a lot said in the Bible about them. Amen. There's just very little in the scripture about Barak. But I know this. They didn't fight. Verse 23 said, curse ye Barak. Curse ye Barak, saith the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof. Because, look at this. Because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. God said, there's a curse on Barak. Amen. The soldiers were supposed to be sent by every group and by every tribe in order to help in the battle. But Barak enjoyed the victory, but the Bible says they would not come to the help of the Lord. There are times that pastor in your church is feeling the pressure. He's feeling the load. Hallelujah. And he needs some saints of God to back him up. I'm just preaching what I feel. Is that all right? I said there are times in every assembly when the pastor goes to that pulpit and maybe he's not having a great revival. Maybe 100 haven't got the Holy Ghost in the last 30 days. Maybe there is a struggle. Maybe the pressure's on even more than the average person in the pew would recognize or know. There's times that pastor comes to that pulpit with a message and he needs somebody in that pew out there pulling with him, pulling for him. Hallelujah. Brother, if nobody else says amen, I will say amen. Nobody else says shouts hallelujah, I will shout hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That, you see, Mirage enjoys the same church. They get the same benefits. They go to the same building. They have the same choir. They hear the same music. They hear the same great sermons. They enjoy the fellowship. They stand in the halls and talk. They fellowship and have a good time. But they don't do anything in order to accomplish anything in the fight against the devil and against sin. We need some men and women tonight that'll stand up and be counted. Who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side tonight? Somebody shout amen. Thank you, Jesus. There's time the man of God comes to the pulpit with a heavy heart, with a burdened heart, with a burdened spirit. Hallelujah. And he doesn't need to preach the deadness. There needs to be some life in the pew. Hallelujah. I've seen times when I was preaching, if just one person, Brother Teddy, would stand up and say, preach it, Pastor. That's all the inspiration I need. I've seen times, Brother Young, if just one person would sit out on the edge of their pew, praise God, what I'm saying may not have been fantastic, but they sit on the edge of the pew, and I began to preach to that one person. Brother, sometimes the pastor can get inspiration from one saint of God. I won't talk about those that just kind of sit there, you know, and they never get involved. That's kind of frown. They don't ever stand. They don't ever clap their hands. They don't ever say amen or praise the Lord. The pastor is struggling, and they're not doing anything to help him. Hallelujah. It's amazing to me how often that God rebukes that neutral position. Amen. I said God rebukes the neutral position. The Bible rebukes the fence straddler, the comfortable, the neutral, that are really not all the way in and not all the way out. I read today in Amos 6 and 1 where it said, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Now he didn't say, woe to them that are dead in Zion. He said, woe to those that are at ease in Zion. He didn't say, woe to those that are drunk in Zion. He said, woe to those that are at ease in Zion. He didn't say, woe to those that are drug addicts in Zion. He said, woe to those that are at ease in Zion. He didn't say, woe to those that are dazed in Zion. He said, woe to those that are at ease in Zion. Praise God. He didn't say, woe to those that are murderers in Zion. He said, woe to those that are at ease in Zion. He didn't say, woe to those that are liars, are thieves, are adulterers, are fornicators. He just simply said, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Hallelujah. I believe it's time for God's people to rise up as a sensitive and marching army as never before. We've got a devil that hates the church. We've got a world that needs to be reached. We've got millions of people about us that don't understand Pentecost. I said they don't understand Pentecost. I want to tell you tonight, this is the greatest thing on the face of the earth. Is just going to go down and be defeated and just going to kindly bide its time until it can sort of fizzle out and drift off into obscurity and nothingness. I'm going to tell you, friend, it's not going to happen. Oh, you say, but there's a lot of people not living for God. But you need to look at the ones that are living for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, God's still got a good church. The people of God are still God's people. And it's still a glorious church. And he's going to present to himself a glorious church without a spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. But that it should be holy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel good about the church tonight. All we need, and I'm here tonight to just say this, that all we need is for more men and more women and more young people that are sitting on our pews to get involved in it. Hallelujah. I'm not worried, Brother Booker, about reaching so many that's lost out there. Brother, if you find unity in the church and you find people involved, you're going to have a moving spirit. You're going to have altars full. Somebody told me, Brother Urson, that Brother Tecklamarian said that he never prays for revival. You might could tell me that. But he said he always prays for unity. Unity. And he said if God can give us unity, we'll have revival. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if there's 25 in your church. If that 25 can ever get together in one mind, one spirit, one accord, one faith, you're going to have revival. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. If you've got 50 in your church, if that 50 can get involved, you're going to have revival. If you've got 100 in that church, if that 100 can get involved, you're going to have revival. Oh, my friend, it's going to happen when God's people get together. My Lord, I feel like shouting tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get involved in the battle. Get involved in teaching Bible studies. Get involved in soul winning. Get involved in passing out tracts. Get involved. seated. How many hungry hearts out there? You know, it's amazing to me, Brother Mooney, that when we put forth just the slightest effort, it seems that God blesses it so much. God rewards it so much. We got a young man in our church that heads our campus ministry. Duke University is in our city. That's about 2 or 3 miles from our church. And so campus ministry has just started back in full swing just a week or two ago as college students returned from the summer break. And so Sam and some of our young people were out on the college campus this past week, on the weekend, and on Saturday. And they were talking to kids. And Sunday morning, there was one young man over here that was from Duke. Sunday morning, there was another young man over here, first time from Duke. Sunday morning, there was a young lady back here from Duke and brought her whole family. Sunday morning, there was another person there from Duke. And before church Sunday morning, young man called me in the office and said, "Want to talk to pastor?" And I got on the phone and he said, "How do you get to your church?" Some young man talked to me yesterday about the Lord and he so inspired me, I want to come to that church. More monitor here, just as I come these last few minutes. You know what? I got to thinking, if everybody in the church would start going somewhere and doing something for God, brother, we can have the greatest revival the United Pentecostal Church has ever had. Hallelujah! 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 Why don't you get involved in soul winning? Why don't you go to your pastor and say, "Pastor, be a part of it. I want to be a pastor. I say, Pastor, I want to be involved." Hallelujah. 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 Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Glory to God. 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 It's time for every man to get on the involved. It's time for the ladies to get involved. Amen. He didn't say, "Woe to those that are at ease in Babylon." He said, "Woe to those that are at ease in Zion." He didn't say, "Woe to those that are at ease in Solomon and Gomorrah." He said, "Woe to those that are at ease in Zion." He didn't say, "Woe to those that are at ease in Egypt." He said, "Woe to those that are at ease in Zion." He didn't say, "Woe to those that are at ease in Moab or Edom." But he said, "Woe to those that are at ease in Zion." Hallelujah. You are in Zion tonight. Your church is your Zion. The people of God are your people. Hallelujah. And woe to those that sit on the pew week after week and enjoy the spoils of victory and never do anything to help it. Hallelujah. 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 Woe to those that have good health and they have youth and they have vigor and they have strength, but they will not get involved. Hallelujah. There'll come a time you'll get older and you can't. But young people, I want to challenge you tonight. Get involved in your church. Young couples, get involved in your church. Be a part of what God's doing. First ye arise, because they came not to the help of God. Amen. You know what God said? It's more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for those that enjoy the truth and won't do anything about it. Hallelujah. 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 Folks, we're privileged to be in the greatest church in the whole wide world. Glory to God. Glory to God. And if you're sitting around waiting for the church to compromise, we're not going to do it. We're not going to compromise on Acts 2:38. We're not going to compromise on the one God message. We're not going to compromise on the holy. I noticed one of our resolutions
coming up at the General Conference is that we signed the affirmation statement after 2 years. Really, I could care less whether it's 1 year or two. Doesn't matter to me, but I still believe what I believe. Praise God. If you want to sign it once a year, I'll sign it once a year. If you want to make it every 2 years, I'll sign it every 2 years. Because I don't intend to change it anyhow. I've been preaching 38 years, and I'm still going to keep on preaching what I've been preaching. You can say it's antiquated, behind the times, and out of date if you want to, but I'm still having a good time preaching this apostolic message. There's going to be milk and honey there. And they got there. And then after they got there, they were at ease in Zion. Once they arrived, is it possible? Hear me close. I've been a home missionary 3 times in the starting of the church. And is it possible? And I asked myself the question, Brother Booker, just the other day. Am I as excited about the church that I'm pastoring tonight as I was 24 plus years ago when we went into Durham, Brother Urshan, didn't know one soul. Hallelujah. Am I still as excited about the church as I was then? Glory to God. I want to examine my motives. I'm doing all right. I'm living comfortable. Brother Haney, I've got some food. I'm not praying. I'm just saying God's been good to me. I got some food on the table. I got some shoes on my feet. I got a roof over my head. I got a vehicle to drive. Hallelujah. I got a good wife. I got 2 girls that both married to home missionaries. Both of them are starting brand new churches in North Carolina. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. But you know what? I want to stay as excited right now with 1,100 Sunday school as I did it when I opened the Durham and didn't know one soul. If there's 1 week goes by and somebody don't get baptized, I'm upset with it. If nobody gets the Holy Ghost, I'm upset about it. If the altars are not filled with people, I'm upset about it. Glory to God. Last Thursday night, Spanish service. 1 baptized, got the Holy Ghost. Sunday morning, 1 baptized. Sunday night, 2 got the Holy Ghost. Monday night, Brother C.M. Beckton preached at a Labor Day rally. Over 1,000 people present. Folks got the Holy Ghost in the day service and in the night service. Hallelujah. Folks, we got to have it. I believe we ought to eat revival. We ought to breathe it. We ought to thank it. We ought to sleep it. Oh, you say, but Brother Blair, I still love the truth of the Bible. What happened to your amens? What happened to your praise the Lord? What happened to your shout? Hallelujah. I don't want the new converts to do all the shouting in the church out there. I want to see some old heads do a little shouting, a little jig once in a while. That praising God. I want to see somebody have the Holy Ghost 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Say, Pastor, I'm still excited about Jesus. Hallelujah. In some churches, the new converts do the shouting, the soul winning, the worship, the praise, the involvement. And some of us can't wait till church is over. Go to PGI Christ. Hallelujah. God has a special disdain for those who lose their joy. Luke 17:10, He said, when you've done all you're supposed to do, you're still to say, we are unprofitable servants. We've done our duty. God's looking for somebody that'll go beyond their duty. God's looking for some second mile people. Hallelujah. Paul said in Philemon, verse 21, he said, I have confidence in you, church, that you will do more than I say. You're going to do more. God's not pleased when there's ease in time. God's not pleased when saints are not in the battle. God's not pleased when preachers are not in the battle. God's not pleased when we spend our time on everything else and no time doing the work of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What did God say to Laodicea? He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. He didn't say that to the whoremonger and the drunkards and the homosexuals and the liberal crowd out here. He said to Laodicea, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Jesus said, he that's not with me is against me. So what I'm trying to say tonight in closing, if our musicians would come, we need some fanatics for Jesus. I came by the ballpark tonight. Young man brought me to the Turner. Brought me to church tonight. We came by the baseball field. I don't want that crowd over there to get more excited about a round ball, a round bat. I do not see that.
If this message has been a blessing to you today, please pass it along to someone else or simply tell them about PreachItAudio.com. If you would like to find a Spirit-filled church where lives are transformed in your area, I encourage you to email us today at churches@PreachItAudio.com. Let us know the city and state you live in, and we will reply back to you very quickly to direct you to the church in your area where you will receive the strength you need for your life today, and where you too can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.